Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to How to Survive, the show that teaches you how to survive the stuff that can kill you.
Like dangerous falls.
Oh, yep.
Mono.
Ah.
How about new motherhood?
Mm-hmm. And the stuff that just makes you wish you were dead.
Not winning an Emmy 53 times.
Uh-huh.
Farting on a first date.
Ew.
New audiences.
Yes, they can kill you.
Or make you feel really embarrassed.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, make you wish you were dead. That's the premise of the second half of the monologue we do. It's not really a monologue, more of a dialogue. I guess what we should do is just play the theme song.
Ground is shaking under our feet. Mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling. Gobbling down Xanax, ain't the way to be dealing. Gotta do better than just getting high. We gotta stick together if we're gonna survive.
Hello, you guys.
Oh my gosh, here we are.
We had a week off because someone had to go and get sick.
Sorry.
And of course you got sick from Benjamin, right?
And Alex.
Oh, and Alex, that's right.
Strep throat.
Did you have it too?
Thank God I didn't get it. I just wore a mask constantly. I slept in a mask.
What?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Wait, why did you, were you in the same room as them?
When our kids are sick.
They like to come into bed with
you. They like to come into bed with us. And I felt like a monster being like, no, get out.
Right.
So I just wore a mask.
I can't believe you slept in a mask. That sounds horrible.
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
But you know what sounded worse? Getting strep.
But you got something.
I did. Yeah, I felt really bad. I had one of the worst headaches, migraines I've ever had.
Oh.
I was like laying in bed in silence, just like, don't talk to me. I couldn't even listen to audiobooks.
Oh, man. And how long did that last?
That was like a day and a half.
Okay.
So over 24 hours, less than 48.
That's a lot of math.
Thank you.
Over 24 hours, less than what?
Like 36.
Okay.
So I could have said that.
Oh my God. All right. Is this that new math?
It's the new math, guys.
So you feel okay now?
Yeah. Feeling good.
Well, the good news is that you were feeling fine when we went to go see the Eagles together.
Nice, Danielle.
Nice segue.
Wasn't expecting as many adventures as we had.
We had a lot of adventures.
For like a show.
Just
with,
to go to a show.
Full of septuagenarians?
Septuagenarians, yes.
Some octogenarians?
Absolutely, which we'll get into.
We were babies at that show.
We were. The first thing that happened was we were walking down the street and we're walking from our car to the venue and I said, oh, well, it's okay if we're a little late because Steely Dan is opening. And she was like, oh, okay, yeah, I know some Steely Dan songs. And then what was the Steely Dan song you knew?
Feeling in Your Eaves.
And I go, feeling in your eaves? What are you talking about? And then she starts singing.
Are you feeling in your eaves?
So I go, reeling in the years? She was dead serious. So then we were just like,
I just thought it was a song about cleaning out your gutters.
Yeah. So then we were just singing the song about cleaning out your gutters on the way. It was so funny. I was laughing so hard. I couldn't believe she really thought,
you know, have you gathered up your leaves?
Oh my God. I love it.
Is it blocking up the drain? Do-do-do, do-do-do.
I know my Steely Dan.
It was so funny. Like, I don't know that one. What are you talking about? Okay. So then we get in. We got a couple of drinks.
Frozen margaritas.
That maybe that's how your migraine started, because that was the most frozen thing I've ever had. And I got a headache every single time I took a sip of it.
Maybe.
It had, was so frozen.
It seemed to have no alcohol in it.
And zero alcohol. It was just sugar and ice.
$18 of ice.
$18 of sugar and ice and headache. All right. So then we sat down and we were on the aisle.
Yep, and up in the 200s.
Yeah, we were.
For those of you familiar with the forum.
Yeah, we're in the nosebleeds.
But it's not, because it's kind of a small space.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
It's not like
at all.
SoFi where you're like, oh, hello, no. Hello, 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 you know.
No. It's good. So before the show starts, we're sitting there, and then there's two empty seats next to me. And then who come in but the oldest woman in the world.
And she might be.
And
her boyfriend slash maybe son.
Okay, so we don't know who. We assume that they're a couple. Okay,
yes.
So they come in and they're, you know, they're an older couple. They look like they're in their 80s or something. About 70s or 80s or
somewhere
something like that.
Between 104 and 90.
Exactly, right. So we, okay, so he, the show starts, right? And he's on his phone. And it's like he's summoning a ship lost in the fog. That is how bright his phone is.
And he's sitting, so he's turned away from her.
Yeah.
And the light is blinding Danielle and I.
Yeah.
Oh my
it's
God.
Like in our, oh, we should put the picture on.
We'll
in
put
our
it
newsletter.
On. Yeah, yeah, we'll put it online.
Yeah, we'll put the picture online. So I don't think we get his face. We can just block out his face or something. So we're just cracking up. We're like, what the fuck is he doing in the middle? And this is an old dude. This isn't like a young person who's like, I've got to be on my phone all the time. So then I'm like, I gotta find out what is he on? What is he looking at?
And
that
it's
is
not.
So, and I see him with.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry,
it's okay. I see him with a stylus, like putting all his
he's
force
like banging into
banging
his phone,
onto his phone,
trying to figure out how his phone works.
Right. So then I finally look.
We're not snooping, by the way. He's pointing it at.
Oh,
us.
I mean, it's basically in my face.
You can't not see it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I look. He is on hingeforsingles.com.
What?
Yeah,
he's not on the app. He's not on a dating app.
He's on the
app.
Website.
He's on the website.
This guy can't do it.
Hingeforsingles.com.
He's trying to figure out how to sign up.
With his mom slash wife.
Yeah.
Well, at this point, we assumed they were a couple. So then I said, well, maybe she's his mother. But Chris sort of, I think you were sort of under the impression he was just doing this literally behind her back.
Yeah, because he was really trying to hide it from her. I gave him credit because he was trying to sign up for like the platinum level.
Yeah.
Remember, it was like there were different levels. It was like gold, silver, platinum. And he kept poking that platinum button. And I was like, well, at least he's going for the high level.
But why was he? Oh, see, I thought he was paying to message. You're saying he was starting from scratch.
Oh, I don't know.
He took this moment of the day.
I do not know.
Okay.
I was out of the dating online pool before Hinge existed.
Right.
So I don't know how these sites work now. So I it could have been either. All I know is we know he went to multiple dating sites.
Yes. He went to lookingforsingles.com.
Lookingforsingles.com, yeah.
But it looked like he was trying to purchase to message. Well, maybe it's like there's one level and then if you upgrade, you're allowed to message. I'm guessing it's something like that. But
that sounds right. I think you're probably right. He
but
was probably doing a free version and then he was like, you know what? Now
it's
I want
to step it up.
It's time. She might be here tonight.
Right.
I got to talk to her and find out she's here.
Yeah.
Because then he left.
Right.
Wait.
So then, okay.
He did this the whole.
The entire.
All of Steely Dan.
All of Steely
all
Dan.
All their gardening songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every song about yard work.
Right.
Whole time.
Yeah, exactly. So, so.
He, gets up. Can I share this part?
Yeah.
Gets up. And then I don't know why he feels the need to do this. Backs up against Danielle, leans over and puts his butt right in her face.
His ass is in my face.
Yeah. Like, and we're both just like, what?
Like a Far Side cartoon. Like just an old person's ass right up in my grill. It was so weird.
It was so weird because I don't think he dropped anything.
No. I don't think he did either.
I think he just wanted to back that shit up.
Maybe he was practicing for when he
met up
connects with
yeah.
someone.
He was like, let me just give this a try and see if I still got it. My hips move.
Okay, so then there's the intermission.
Yes.
Right? Isn't that when he left?
He left while the band was still playing, but he's gone.
He's gone.
Yes.
And then I thought she went with him. But at one point, Chris turns to me and she goes, well, he just left her. And I was like, what do you mean? And I look, she's still there.
Yep.
He left. He's gone for like 25 minutes.
Which maybe longer.
I'm thinking maybe he figured it out and met someone there.
Because I think the Eagles played for 2 hours.
Oh, so yeah, you're right.
I bet he was gone for an hour. Because he came almost towards the end of the Eagles.
Right. So, all right. Yeah, so at some point he comes back. Oh, then, by the way, still on his phone, but for the Eagles, he has more respect. He's just filming the whole fucking thing.
But with the crowd, right?
With his Klieg light.
He's like filming the crowd. Anyway, we're, you know, on the aisle, lots of stairs next to us. And they're just, you know, you've been in shows before. They're regular concert stairs. Nothing special about them.
They're a little steep and a little short. In other words, they're not wide. They're kind of narrow.
I would say like every song, at least someone almost fell. Because you got a lot of people who aren't so secure anymore. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've had a knee surgery or two.
They can't get the tennis ball thing up the stairs.
So the hips.
Try to freewheel it. Yeah.
The hips aren't what. Margaritas.
Well, you put a couple icy margaritas in them, they get a little slipper. And, you know, maybe they're not. Maybe they're wearing their fancy shoes that night.
Right.
They're not wearing their usual Hokas.
Right.
They're wearing like their shoes with a little,
heel. Kitten heel, yeah.
Maybe cowboy boot. Their
right.
guy.
Right.
So all night long, I kept seeing people almost slip. And I was like, oh, God damn it.
Oh, my God.
Here we go. Somebody's going to fall.
So then just about Desperado?
Yep. Is right? ending.
Yeah. Right? Just about Desperado.
And right literally next to us.
Literally right next to Chris.
A woman's ankle turns and she slides up, you know, feet under ass, slams down on her ass.
Like she's straddling. You know how you have a rail, but then there has to be a break. There's a break between the rails. So there's like, you know, two rails. So there's a little. So she falls right in between the two rails and she's straddling the rail. And she just.
And like grabbing her foot. And her husband comes running down. Like he's just kind of like, oh, duh. And then a couple other people come down that maybe are her adult children.
This is an older lady.
Yeah, she's probably 65.
Yeah, she wasn't super old.
She's not super old, but you know. And then somebody behind us runs off to get help, which clearly.
Which was great.
Yeah, he's that kind of person. Danielle and I clearly are not. We remain too calm.
Well, honestly, we were blocked. We were blocked in by her.
We were kind of blocked in.
We would have had to step on her other foot to get
out. Yeah.
Too calm.
In our defense.
We were too calm.
We did. We remained way too calm.
Yeah, we were like.
We were like, oh, she fell. That sucks.
That's someone else's wildfire to deal with.
Somebody else will handle this. I held her purse, so I think we.
She did, yeah.
We did do.
So this is literally right in front of you.
It's
okay. So it wouldn't have been in front of us except we have to turn to look at the stage. So it's basically so then all these people come to help her and they're literally blocking.
There's 700 EMTs.
Like it was so funny. Like the end of
Hotel California comes on and it's 800 EMTs that we're watching, not the show.
And we're just
like staring at EMTs.
Up.
We're
like,
just laughing.
It was so funny because I do have a picture of how we were blocked.
Yeah.
Because it's like her and her husband and like three guys. So anyway, I kept going, I just don't understand how they're going to get her down. They're going to have to carry her. How else would
you do
this?
How are they going to do it?
How would you do this? So this is how they end up. I mean, it took a while. They've wrapped her.
It took so long.
They wrapped her foot or whatever, you know. So finally, they like make a hammock.
They bring a bag. It's an IKEA bag, Danielle.
A what?
Doesn't it look like an IKEA bag?
IKEA bag.
It looks like an IKEA bag.
Like the blue thing.
Yes, that's exactly what it looks like.
Those things are strong.
Yes.
They are.
So one person takes one side. She's sitting on it. And the other person takes another side, but they're on opposite sides of that rail.
And one of the people is like Danielle's size.
Yes, a woman.
She's like this tiny little size 2 EMT who's like, 20. And I'm like, and then there's the huge guy in front. And I'm like, put the huge guy where the little lady is.
Well, she must. I mean, they got her.
Yeah, they got her.
They got her down.
It was harrowing.
But so then, as the guy, the old man, the old Lothario next to me said, you know, it's their stairs are really slippery. So when we go down, so now it's time to leave. The show's over. We go down and walk down. They could not have been rougher. I mean, they're not slippery at all. In fact, I think they make them so that you cannot
slip. They're like scratchy.
So I think it's the opposite. I think you get stuck.
Oh, is that?
She may have gotten like stuck because it's too much friction.
But what's funny is people, even the woman in front of you turned around and said, these stairs are so slippery.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think the problem is not the stairs.
Yeah. It's
I think it's the
you ladies
age and bad shoes and icy margaritas.
Yeah. So I do want to just briefly ask you guys, well, I don't know, if either of you have watched Fellow Travelers.
No, I have
the
not.
Matt Bomer show.
No.
Am I saying that right? Bomer?
Yeah, it looks good. I've heard it's good.
Okay.
I have not.
I feel like they're a little too bland. Like, I want some kind of...
Who's bland?
They are. The two leads.
Matt and the other guy?
I mean, they're gorgeous. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm just tired of seeing white people get all this...
Oh, there's some black people in there.
Okay. That's also the 50s, so I guess that's kind of an unusual complaint. But
I don't know what it is.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry. It's about a guy... who works in, several people work in the government during the Red Scare, which is also the Lavender Scare, which was trying to get gay people out of, you know. Meanwhile, Roy Cohn, who was gay, is, you know, trying to put all the communists away and all the gay people. Like, it's horrible. Like, he's just, anyway, so this is a fictional character and he's like the Don Draper of the gay world, basically. Mm-hmm. He like doesn't, you know, want any attachments and, it's not great. It's really not great. Like it's so melodramatic at points, and it flashes back between the 50s and the 80s. And, but I have never experienced this, and I don't know what this means. But I found the sex extremely hot.
That's what I was going to ask you, because I've seen clips.
Yeah,
and I'm like, are they amplifying the sexuality of the show to cover up for the rest of it? Like, maybe the rest of it isn't quite as good, so it's like, don't talk about that. Look how hot their fucking is.
Well,
you mean you've never experienced it because it's two men?
Yes.
Yeah. I can men kissing can be very hot for me.
I've never
experienced
this before.
I think if they're sexy, because it's the chemistry, like, for me, it's the same, like, I mean, it's hard, you know, with women because of my whole thing, but, like, chemistry is chemistry, and it can just be so sexy, you know, like,
I mean,
it can be really
they're
sexy.
They're also both
Matt Bomer's such a babe.
Yeah.
I don't know if the other guy is.
Oh, so I guess I just assumed you. Well, he's actually the, how do I say this? The less masculine of the two.
Mm-hmm.
He's not as
presenting.
Well, I mean, they're both trying to pass. It's 1950s.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's more
femme.
He's a little slightly more femme and emotionally, and he's more gentle. He is the bottom.
Okay.
Yeah, that actually is part of it. He is the bottom. Do people ever switch off, or is that just not done?
They do.
I mean, couples. A couple would. Okay. Because
I
was like, how does he get off? I really don't understand. Like, how do you get off if you're the bottom?
It feels very good to some people.
Oh, okay.
Personally,
so
I'm not a fan.
So you can you climax? Look at me all being all prim and proper. If you're the bottom, can you climax just from
yes
penetration?
Oh.
Yes.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well,
because isn't it?
There's a G spot.
It's up there. Isn't it the prostate?
I think it's the prostate.
Prostate
gets
stimulated.
Okay. All right.
So why did God make that a thing if he doesn't like gay people? How about that?
Yeah. Wait, why are you making the gay person sound like an asshole?
I'm just trying to make the people feel stupid.
Oh, okay.
Is that not working?
No, it just made it sounded like the character was stupid.
No. I don't mean that. I mean, all these Christians or whatever, like, it's not natural, da-da-da. But it
Right.
Obviously, there's some exactly, reason for right. that to be there.
That's interesting. Oh, that's really interesting. Okay, today we're going to learn how to survive the first few months postpartum.
Oh, good luck.
You've had a baby. Now what?
Or two.
Or two in your case.
Sometimes people have two.
That's crazy.
Sometimes people have more and I can't help you.
I know. I always see those. Oh, I saw some video on Facebook today. It was like, when you've had two sets of twins in less than a year.
No.
And she had four babies.
No.
Four babies. Mm-mm. Yeah. Mm-mm. She had two babies. Got pregnant, had two more babies.
No, that's wrong.
I know.
That's so wrong.
Okay. All right. So first I'm going to go through the normal stuff about having the baby, and then we'll get into the actual survival kind of.
Okay. You know, I love it.
Shit hits the fan.
Yeah. So, literally right. sometimes.
That's right. Getting started with nursing. Get lactation support. Research shows that nursing parents who seek help have a higher success rate with breastfeeding and may even breastfeed for longer.
Okay.
Talk with friends who have had a good nursing experience. Ask your baby's pediatrician for a referral for a lactation consultant or attend a group. I did have to go to the back to the hospital a few days after Oliver was born because to get some tips.
Okay.
Because I did not, it just wasn't like working.
It's tough.
It can be really tough. And some women it just doesn't work for.
And that's okay.
Right. And then they're made to feel like crap.
You shouldn't.
But you shouldn't.
You shouldn't. Just do whatever.
You know what?
This baby's going to be fine either
way. It's going to be fine anyway. Yeah. Okay. Okay. But you could see if there's a nursing class or a lactation consultant on staff. That's what I did. I mean, they come in, you know, the nurse will come into your room.
Yeah.
But that's like learning how to use your iPhone at the store and then going home and you're like, wait, what did they say?
It feels like somebody's teaching you how to knit when you've just come out of surgery.
Exactly.
And they're like, okay, did you get that? I'm leaving.
Right.
We gave you a 30-second tutorial on knitting.
And in my case, oh, by the way, your knitting has a penis when you were told it would not have a penis.
In my case, they were like, your babies, you're not going to be able to see them.
Oh.
And they also just give them the juice that they need. We got to squeeze it out. And you're just like, what?
God. That's terrible.
The point is, it's tense, and don't stress about it because you'll get another chance to get some help.
You're right. You mean because you'll have another baby if this one perishes?
You're going to have two more sets of twins.
Okay, don't forget to think about yourself. At home, you'll want to drop everything to feed the baby the moment they cry for you. But Heather O'Donnell, a mom in New York City, suggests that taking care of yourself first. Get a glass of water and a book or a magazine to read. And because breastfeeding can take a while, she says, pee first, which is always a good rule of thumb for anything.
Yeah.
Pee first.
Pee first.
Yeah. You do get very dehydrated after you've breastfed, so you do need water. Okay.
I would be so hungry, too.
Yes, because it burns an insane amount of calories.
I had to eat, like, almost like how I was when I was first pregnant, where it was like I just had to, like, voraciously eat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bizarre, right?
Yeah, it really... It really sucks it out of you.
Yeah.
They really suck it out
of
you. They just really.
It's like the Ozempic for mommies.
Yeah.
Okay, try a warm compress. If your breasts are engorged or if you have blocked ducts, a warm compress can help. A heating pad or a warm wet washcloth works. Oh, but a flax pillow, which is sometimes sold in beauty stores or natural products stores, is even better. Heat it in the microwave and conform it to your breast.
I have those.
Did they help?
I had them that it was like, I can't remember the brand, but it had like a woman who looked like a hippie on the front. It was like mommy's boob tubes. And they were like stuffed like lavender and shaped like your boob. They had like little snakes almost. And I would microwave them. You could also put them in the freezer, I think, but I would microwave them and lay them on. And because my boobs would get hard so fast if I didn't breastfeed, like it was like that. And they would really help.
And so you did both babies at once?
No, that was impossible.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't.
You did one baby, but then wouldn't you have to, because you're supposed to switch, or did you do one baby on one side and then the other baby on the other side so there was enough milk?
I had so much milk.
Oh, okay.
Listen to this. Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah. You were subsidized by the government.
I was contracted by the government to feed a whole country. One baby.
Mm-hmm.
I do a little bit on one boob, a little bit on the other.
Okay.
Feed him for, you know, 15-20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Another baby, 15-20 minutes, 15-20 minutes. Done. Okay. 40 minutes, all around an hour.
Yeah.
Then I had to pump after that.
Wow.
on a hospital grade medical pump for another 20, 25 minutes.
What?
Every time.
Real? Every time? Because you had so much milk?
Every 3 hours, 24 hours a day.
They also suggest get your baby used to the bottle while nursing.
Mm-hmm.
If you want your baby to eventually take a bottle, introduce it after breastfeeding is established, but before the 3 month mark. I must have done that because I don't know. Yeah, he must have done that. Many experts say 6 to 8 weeks is good. Okay. Helping your baby sleep. If your infant isn't eating, they're probably sleeping. Newborns log as many as 16 hours of sleep a day, but only in short bursts. Ain't that the truth?
Oh, boy.
The result, you'll feel on constant alert and more exhausted than you ever thought possible. Even the best of us can come to resent the severe sleep deprivation. I thought this was sort of interesting. Stop obsessing about being tired. There's only one goal right now. Care for your baby. You're not going to get a full night's sleep, so you can either be tired and angry or just tired.
Fuck you?
Yeah.
That's a little bit weirdly worded, I would say.
Kind of fuck you. But I also...
Stop complaining.
But I also... I did kind of take it as that, but I also took it as just don't worry about it. Like, don't think you're going... Like, oh, no, I didn't get sleep. Like, you just aren't.
Yes. I mean, I surrender to it, I guess. But I also think that different people react to sleep deprivation in different ways. And you kind of can't control which person you are. Because, you know, my husband, who also wasn't on that schedule that I was and wasn't off his anti-anxiety medication. Like, he doesn't take anti-anxiety medication. But, like, he was still getting up at a lot of those times, too.
Yeah.
He wasn't recovering from a birth. He also wasn't the one actually feeding somebody from his body, but he reacted to the sleep deprivation pretty well. Like,
yeah,
he handled it pretty well, whereas I was a shell of a former human.
Yeah, like, I'm sure.
And you don't know which person you're going to be until you experience giving birth. Like, you might be a person who's kind of like, this sucks, but I'm okay, or you might be a person who's like, I feel psychotic. Like, I feel like I'm worried I'm going to drive my car off a bridge. Like,
right.
I think it's not something you can really, like, talk yourself out of sometimes.
I mean, I don't do well without 8 hours of sleep just normally.
Yeah.
So I don't remember what I was like. I mean, I remember I was very, which we'll get into. I was very depressed postpartum. But I don't know if it was the sleep. Okay. Take shifts. One night it's your turn to rock the cranky baby. The next it's your partner's turn. Sleep when the baby sleeps. Yes, really. The old adage, sleep when your baby sleeps, really is the best advice. There will always be housework to catch up on, but sometimes taking a nap is the most productive thing you can do as the parent of a newborn.
Yeah, I mean, I would really encourage new parents to just let your house be a wreck.
Yeah.
It's totally okay.
Absolutely.
Don't try to hold to the old standards of what your life or what your house maybe used to look like. And just be like, let the laundry pile up.
Yeah.
Let the house look like shit and just embrace that.
Plus, when they get older, a little bit older, and now there's toys on the ground, it's never going to be cleaned up anyway. So
your old life is over.
It's gone.
I'm sorry to tell you something.
Yeah.
And only because I think I was under the impression after I became a new mom that I was like, okay, you know, my old life's going to come back and it's going to be like this again. And it's probably when they turn like a year.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, maybe it's when they're two, you know, like, and then now many years later, you go, that's gone.
Yeah.
Like, if you can just actually embrace the idea that, like, that is over forever.
Yeah.
And accept sort of, you know, a new normal of just, I don't mean like.
But new wonderful things take
new wonderful place. Things. It does. It really does. It's so much richer in so many ways. And it is really wonderful in so many ways. But, like, your house doesn't have to look Instagram worthy or it's going to be, you know, what like it does when your friends come over for, like, some kind of event. Like, just let it be shitty.
All right. Go ahead and rock your baby to sleep. What if your infant has trouble sleeping? What if?
What if?
Do whatever it takes. Nurse or rock your baby to sleep. Let your newborn fall asleep on your chest or in the car seat. Just be sure to transfer them to a safe sleep surface as soon as you can. Guess what? Uh-uh. My son used to fall asleep in the car seat.
Yeah.
And we'd bring him home.
Yeah. Bring him in that car seat.
Eventually, I just left him in the car seat because it never worked to transport him from the car seat to the crib. Not once. He woke up every fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
So you just... Yeah, just let him sleep in the car.
Let him sleep fine. Wherever they are. Unless
he's
it's like,
we had not in the car.
We had the swing that then we found out they recalled it because a lot of babies died in it.
A lot of babies.
Well, enough that they were like, we're not selling this swing anymore.
Well, hopefully one is enough.
I don't know.
I hope it doesn't take a lot of babies.
We can't recall it until seven babies die. But we had that swing that changed our life because, you know, Alex would cry. She was a crier. And, you know, it was at like 4 months where it was like, why won't she sleep? And then we got, my mom bought it. She came for a visit and she was like, I'm going to get you that swing. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Aww.
And then we tried the transfer and that was like, no. And then it was like, all right, she's sleeping in that swing.
Absolutely. I let him sleep in the swing for sure.
Yeah.
So
make sure the thing you're letting them sleep in also isn't, doesn't have deaths connected to it.
Right. You know, there used to be a furniture store in Los Angeles called Sid's Baby Furniture. Famously, Sid's Baby Furniture.
That's incredible.
If all else fails, try a warm bath together. I never thought of that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You'll relax too, and a relaxed mommy can calm a baby. That makes sense.
That sounds nice.
But do it. Make sure that the umbilical cord has fallen off.
Okay.
Before you do that. Don't
or keep it
don't
like
that. Submerge
above.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting partners involved. If you're bringing up your baby in a two-parent household, it's important to share the mental load and give both parents a chance to learn what needs to be done to help your baby thrive.
Yes. Let them do a lot. It's okay if they do it wrong.
Yep.
I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying.
It's okay. Okay. Take time off from work. If partners don't get the option of parental leave through work, see if they can use vacation or sick days to take some time off. Encourage your partner to bond. Now, skin-to-skin contact with caregivers is hugely beneficial for newborns and their caregivers. In fact, one study looking specifically at fathers showed that fathers who hold their newborns with skin-to-skin contact experience a significant reduction in stress responses.
Oh.
I am going to add a caveat to this.
Okay.
If, which I think is lovely, if you take off your shirt and you hold your baby and your dude and you hold your baby on your chest, don't post that shit. I don't need to see it. I think it's perfect. Do it, but I don't need to see your dad bod naked holding a baby. It's not cute. We get it. You're a good father. Good
yes,
for you.
Yes. Put your
Keep
shirt
it to
on.
Yourself. Exactly. Or they should get one of those nursing you know, the nursing, what is it called? Like, so you can, the modesty, like, cloak, so
yes.
you can nurse in public.
Yes.
Do one of those. I
yes.
don't need to see your
Be modest.
Be modest.
There's a lot of
for Danielle.
Social media shit talking to guys that do that from the, you know, like the trolls, the Andrew Tate people.
Oh, right. Cause it's feminine.
This isn't a
and
man.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be a man. This is what a man does.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Those people are terrible. I just don't want to see it. I think it's fantastic to
yes.
do. I just don't want you to be applauded for it. And I don't want to see, you know,
yes.
it's like my old joke about, it's not really a joke, but I used to talk to my ex about how, you know, the dad is babysitting.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
you're
yes.
not babysitting. That's your child. You're not babysitting.
Yes.
It's that thing. It's
yeah.
like
it's like my husband at the grocery store with the kids, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, that's so cute."
Yeah,
and there's I'm like, I do it all the time, and you just want me to get out of your way,
right? Yeah, I'm a nuisance.
Yes,
there's a lot of praise for dads doing their daughter's hair. I've noticed that's a big like internet thing, of like I can do my kid's hair.
Okay. Cool.
Good for you. All right. Miscellaneous. Forget about housework for a couple of months, like you said. Accept help from anyone who is nice or naive enough to offer.
Or not nice.
Yeah.
I'll take help from an asshole. I don't care.
If a neighbor wants to hold the baby while you shower, say yes.
Yes. Take the help.
I used to put Oliver in a little baby chair and face the shower.
Yeah.
And that was perfect.
Yeah.
Because then he could see me and I would still, you know, it was great. And don't be afraid to tell people exactly what you need.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to get into the elephant in the room, postpartum depression. Each woman's experience is different, but about a third of women who experience postpartum depression or anxiety disorders begin to feel like they are not themselves before they deliver the baby.
Oh, interesting.
Another third has the experience shortly after delivery, and another third within a year after the baby arrives.
Oh, that's really fascinating.
Yeah. I for sure was depressed while I was pregnant.
Oh, I'm sorry, Danielle.
Well, that's okay. I was just not one of those people who enjoyed being pregnant.
That's okay.
Maybe if I did it a second time, you know, maybe I would like be able to, but it was just all scary, and I was just so unsure. And
yeah.
Okay, diagnosis. Your healthcare provider will usually talk with you about your feelings, thoughts, and mental health to help determine if you have short-term case of postpartum baby blues or a mere severe form of depression. I think I just had baby blues. I mean, I wasn't, you know, envisioning harm or anything like that. But it was, I was pretty, like, just, like, flat, like, you know.
It sounds worse than baby blues.
Maybe, yeah. Don't be embarrassed. Postpartum depression is common. Share your symptoms with your provider so that you and your provider can create a useful treatment plan. As part of your evaluation, your healthcare provider may do a depression screening, including having you fill out a questionnaire. Your provider may order other tests if needed to rule out other causes for your symptoms. Treatment. Treatment and recovery time vary depending on how severe your depression is and what your individual needs are. If you have an underactive thyroid or an underlying illness, your healthcare provider may treat those conditions or refer to you or refer you to the appropriate specialist. Your healthcare provider may also refer you to a mental health professional. Okay, so this is something called postpartum psychosis. Postpartum psychosis requires immediate treatment, usually in the hospital. Treatment can include medicines. Treatment may require a combination of medicines such as antidepressants, antipsychotic medicines, mood stabilizers, and benzodiazepines. Bennies, I guess.
I guess so.
To control your signs and symptoms. Or ECT, which is electroconvulsive therapy. I just want to say electric shock therapy, as it used to be called, is not what it used to be.
Yeah. I've heard it can be very effective.
I have a friend who, not because of pregnancy, but I have a friend who did it and swears by it. I think it can affect your memory, your short-term memory, but very, very helpful and can be very help. Whatever. We'll take that up. All right. Are you ready for a sad story?
I live for sad stories.
Okay. Well, I went to, I think a lot of people know about this, but I wanted to talk about Brooke Shields. Because this is the first time I remember hearing someone talk about postpartum depression was when Brooke Shields went through it. So after giving birth, Brooke Shields was suffering from postpartum depression, and she found herself staring out of the window of her fourth floor Manhattan apartment, contemplating putting an end to it all. I just want to say, side note, I was never like this. I was never this. It was not like this bad. But a lot of people do experience this. I really didn't want to live anymore, she admits frankly. She says that during this time, simply seeing a window was enough to prompt her to think, I just want to leap out of my life. But then the rational side of me would say, you're only on the fourth floor. Wow. You'll get broken to bits and then you will be even worse. For the 6-foot natural beauty, the troubling signs of postpartum depression began almost immediately after she gave birth. Chris, her husband, would say, oh my God, she's crying. And I would respond, yeah. And I would respond, yeah, baby, she's crying. I wonder what she wants, she recalls. It was like this weird alien overtook my body, and every appropriate response was answered with the antithesis of what you would assume. She claims that she had no mother's intuition at all. That scares me. That would be scary, I think, if you don't. Like, I mean, I was depressed, but I certainly wanted to take care of Oliver and was going to do everything to take. I mean, that would be really scary to me. Oh, poor woman. Friends and family were quick to dismiss her sorrow and disinterest as a case of the baby blues that would disappear with some much-needed rest. But her sadness escalated rapidly into postpartum depression. Shields found herself crying more than Rowan, that was her daughter, did, and she says she suffered a mini breakdown on her first post-pregnancy job interview to do a commercial, for an instant formula. She was plagued by feelings of self-doubt and self-harm. And if thoughts of suicide weren't frightening enough, Shields also suffered disturbing visions of seeing her daughter flying through the air, hitting a wall, and then sliding down it, although she's quick to clarify she was never the one throwing her in these visions. The words postpartum depression didn't mean much to her at first, but they finally hit home when a virtual stranger told her about the guilt, shame, and reclusiveness that were connected to postpartum depression, the same symptoms she had struggled with since the baby was born. Okay, so then in an interview on Marc Maron, Shields said she recalled ceasing her medication cold turkey. So she went on medication. She was feeling better.
Yeah.
She stopped taking her medicine after she started feeling better.
Oh, come on, Brooke.
And then.
Was that after Tom Cruise shamed her?
Yeah, I think, no, I think it was probably before that, but I thought I was going to drive my car into a wall on the 405, she said, referring to a freeway in California. She quickly called her doctor, who told her to resume her prescription immediately.
Yeah.
The doctor, aww, like, pulled me. Like, she drove home and...
Yeah.
She also stressed that each person goes through PPD differently. It's an imbalance. It's biochemical, she says. Mm-hmm. And you feel the world... And you feel that word crazy keeps being floated around you, and you just keep thinking, what's wrong with me? Mm. Thankfully, she took the support she was offered and now encourages other parents to speak up and ask for help if they're struggling. I knew nobody was talking about this, she said, and I thought, I refuse to find shame in this. It's tough, but you can get through these things.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's actually a positive story.
It is. It is. Because I think it helps normalize this thing that's so common, Danielle.
Definitely. And she, you know, she has a megaphone. She's a celebrity.
Yeah, yeah.
And who, you know, was very vocal about it.
Yeah.
You know, which was great. And, yeah. So, you know, you can get help and you can.
And you should.
And also
you
I.
can.
And there's no shame in that. That's no. a big problem it's literally, in this country. That
yeah, with any kind of psychological,
anybody.
Yeah.
Well, you're just sad. Get over it. It's right. not that. It's not, no, you don't control yeah. it. You know, right. it's not a cloudy day that's making you upset. It's
right.
it's your chemical.
Exactly.
That's why I talk so much about what I, maybe not going to compare it to what you guys have had, but.
No.
If you don't talk about this and you don't share these things, it doesn't normalize it.
Right.
It doesn't make it okay for someone else to have the same problem.
Exactly.
So people like Brooke Shields and Hayden
Panettiere,
who had the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Talking about this makes it okay for other people to experience
yes.
it and address it.
Yeah. So if any of our listeners' granddaughters are going to give birth soon, anyway, we will be right back with our guest.
Okay. Picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, welcome back, Christine. I wear a lot of workout clothes. I see people in Lululemon in my Pilates classes all the time. I ask someone, why do you buy that? Well, they just last a long time. Guess what also lasts a long time? Every single other brand.
Goodfellas.
There's no difference. Oh, okay. Our guest disagrees. I'm going to take this moment to introduce our guest, and then we're going to get into why she disagrees with me on my brilliant Lululemon diatribe.
Yes. I have some things to say about Lululemon,
okay.
too, but let's bring our guest in, please.
On the first half of the show, we talked about how to survive the first few months postpartum. And now we're going to talk about how to survive the first time performing in Memphis with Zaynab Johnson.
Hey.
How are you?
Hi, Zaynab. I'm really good. Hey.
Okay. Hey. Zaynab, what is your take, first of all, on the Lululemon situation I'm talking about?
I do believe that they are a superior athleisure brand. I think that I find out awful things about their company. Sometimes
yes.
they definitely make me want to boycott them. But I like run a lot
yeah.
and I go through a lot of like leggings and sports bras and uh-huh. things like that. And I'm actually surprised that Nike is in business because everything that they make
falls apart.
It's ill fitting.
Oh, really?
The sneakers are. I wore a Nike sneaker. I loved the way it looked, and I ran uh-huh. in it for maybe half a year. And one day I woke up and I couldn't walk.
What?
I couldn't put my foot down. And I went to a podiatrist, and she was like, I thought I had diabetes. I mean, that's how bad my foot hurt.
Yeah.
Right?
I was like,
ready for an amputation.
I'm like, this is the only explanation for this. And she was like, let's change your running shoes in a matter of 3 days. I never really had, and I've never put on another pair of Nike again. I have worn Athleta, which is a Gap brand. I've tried Fabletics.
What's her face?
Cutie
Pie Jones.
Sure.
Goldie Hawn's daughter. Kate Hudson.
And they like they partner with a bunch of like actresses and influencers to get you. They make really cute things.
Fall apart?
Yes, absolutely.
I just meant all the leggings I have, which are some are from Target from 10 years ago. They're fine. They don't have holes in them. So that was just my point.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not as cute and
They're not, but I get it. No, I get it. I do get it. And then also, Danielle, you're a very petite woman. And so I imagine you can probably shop in so many different places.
Right.
But I, being a tall woman, cannot. And so Lululemon, also Fabletics too, which is why I went to them.
They got long.
They have different like inseams and things. But I'm telling you, it's not all created equally.
So you're saying I'm being, I'm using my privilege as a short person.
Yeah.
To look down on you tall people. In any case, we are not here to debate the pros and cons of capitalism. We are here because, you are a very funny comic. Oh, did I say the name of the special? I didn't say the name
Please
of the special.
Please say it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can see Zainab in her own special, Hijabs Off, on, am I saying it right? Hijab?
Yeah.
On Prime Video. She's a really funny stand-up.
Thank you.
She comes from a huge family. She's got all these siblings. She makes hay of them. but so you are a stand-up by trade, and so the first time, how long have you been doing stand-up?
Oh god, it just made 13 years.
Okay,
no,
great.
I'm lying. 14, I started at the end of 2010, so oh yes, so the end of 2013, 13 years.
Okay, but 2010 just happened. I'm confused. How is that possible? 14 years ago. Oh, I'm so old. So tell us about, okay, you survived playing Memphis. Okay.
Yes. I didn't know anything about Memphis, and it was when shows first started to happen again during the pandemic, like when people were first like experimenting with bringing things back and bringing like live performance indoors back. And I didn't think anything of it. My agent called me and they booked me for this club that I had never heard of. And it may be a week before. You know how sometimes you get clues that you're supposed to pay attention to,
sure,
but you just ignore the flags, right? And so my agent calls me and was like, hey, the club said they made a mistake. They double booked this weekend.
Oh.
Even before that, forgive me, I got to go even back. I should have known when I saw the way the bookings work that they had me doing two shows on a Sunday. If you know anything about stand-up, that's very uncommon. I mean, unless you're like one of the tops, you know, like you're selling so many shows that they're like, you're so in demand that they're like, people want to come out 4 o'clock on a Sunday, you know, then it's like
it's
that.
Really
but
unusual.
Like, you know, Sunday we should be getting ready to go home.
Right.
And so I should have known that was a problem. But anyway, a week before, my agent calls me and says, hey, the club said they double booked the weekend with this comedian, another comedian I'd never heard of, but he, you know, that's a common thing to not hear of a comedian, and like how definite those shores were, like, yeah, girl, we don't even know you.
Very common.
Sure,
very
we
common,
don't know up. Most of you guys, so go ahead.
But you know, just to interrupt you for one quick second, you know, my husband is a stand-up, and he will tell me these things happen. And I'm like, I don't understand. It's literally the whole job is to book. How do you double book something? How do you? I just don't get it.
Well, once I got to the actual club, I realized how this particular club could drop the ball because it was a lot of balls dropped.
Oh, okay.
You know? No, it's a perfect term. And so my agent said, they said that they double booked, but they said that they can just have you guys co-headline. And it doesn't change your pay.
Okay.
Right? And so that's essentially someone saying, you know what? We made a mistake. Come do half the work and you'll still get the same amount of pay.
Mm-hmm.
And so that seems like a win-win situation.
Yeah.
Right?
So you wouldn't do all the shows?
I would do all the shows. But instead of doing an hour,
gotcha.
I'd have to do 30 minutes each show.
Okay.
And so I get to the club. Yeah, I'm not thinking anything of it. I'm just thinking, like, I'm getting paid all the money for half the work. That's
right.
All I'm
Win-win.
Thinking about. I ain't never been to Memphis. Let me go see a part of the state, a part of the country that I won't otherwise see unless I'm booked there.
Right.
And so I get to the show, and I'm in the green room, and the owner of the club, really lovely older gentleman, says to me, he says, you know, you're not typically the comic that plays my club, which already is like,
it's setting you on your heels.
I got to figure out what that means, mm-hmm. you know?
And so many things, you know? It can mean, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And does that mean this will be easier for me or harder for me mm-hmm. or, you know? And so he's like, but I saw your comedy and I'm just like, this girl's got it. Like, I want her at my club.
Okay.
He says, so I'm sorry I double booked you. But then right as he's saying that, the other comedian, other headliner comes in. And he said, but you know what? This will be fun. Like, you both are really strong. And so we can switch it up every night. Like, each show, you know, she can go first one night. I mean, one show, and then you close. And then the next show, you can go first. You know, it's just like fair, right? And so I'm like, easy peasy. And I was like, sure, that works for me. The co-headliner, he says, no, I need to go last.
This guy you've never heard of.
This guy I've never heard of, but also, why do you need to go last?
Right. Right.
Yeah, I could. Mm-hmm. If he would have said, I would prefer.
Right.
Or I want to, but I need to go last, just mm-hmm. felt so... shit, like, it just felt so
like
egotistical. Felt so...
I don't know if you noticed that I'm a man.
Right. Yeah, you know.
So I need to assert my authority right now.
Right.
But now me being, I don't know. I don't know if this is a woman thing. Because I didn't think, like, I'm not going to fight. I didn't think that at all. I thought, ooh, I get to do half the work and leave early.
Right,
like,
exactly.
I think this, for me, it was like,
this is the best
gig. I've never had a better gig than this.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, okay, I do the first show. As soon as I get up on stage, I see that the ceiling is leaking.
Oh, shit.
The ceiling right above the stage, right, is leaking. And I'm like, I say it on stage.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, maybe this was a last minute thing. We were all gone because of COVID. Maybe they weren't able to get the, you know what I'm saying? Like, I am being pretty empathetic.
Okay.
And so I say it on stage, like, I don't know. I must have made some COVID jokes. Like, I don't think I said this, but the ceiling has COVID. The ceiling's nose is running. Like, stuff like that. You know, I'm making light of everything that's happening. And I'm thinking, like, well, I addressed it on stage. And so by the time we do, not the next show tonight, but surely by tomorrow's show, it's going to be a patched up ceiling.
Yes, right? Yes.
That never happened. Mm. From the first show until the last show, the ceiling was leaking.
Did they have a bucket or something to catch it?
Yeah, and let me just tell you, I was bombing all weekend, and nothing's worse than bombing and there's a bucket catching liquid between you and the audience. So when they're not laughing, that's exactly what you hear. Drip.
Oh my God.
You hear.
Oh my God.
But here's the thing. Before, because the bomb is not really the worst part, right? Because like that's a part of our job, is to bomb, you know. But I was I was really shocked by the audience, because it was mostly women. Like most comedy audiences, it was a majority women, because women come with men, but also women come by themselves. They come with other women, you know, more so than any other than men do. Men don't typically come.
They're not coming in a group of guys.
Yeah, unless they're going to see like a really bro-y show. Like, it's very rare.
Right, right, right.
And so I was doing my material, and I think my material really does speak to women in a way that's like inspiring and like uplifting, and without being heavy-handed, but it's like, we're here, we're, you know, unapologetic. Like, I feel like my material does that.
Yeah.
And they weren't really feeling it. And I'm the type of comedian, I call out. I'm not just going to pretend like I'm not bombing. I'm not going to pretend like it's not, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about it as it's happening, right? And that's alleviating a bit of the awkwardness. Then my co-headliner, I should just call him the headliner at this point.
Your superior.
When I survived going back to being a feature after being a headliner, he got on stage and he did... The best way I can describe it is like some really hacky bits. Like, I almost want to give one of his bits, but then I don't want... someone to come
just
after
Googling
me.
It.
Yeah, right. Really hacky bits. I was so surprised at the hacky bits because I remember seeing those bits on like Comic View when I was a kid.
Right.
You know? And I'm like, oh, wow. But I mean, the thing that hurt my feelings is the crowd went wild.
But see, I think you got to go the opposite because if the crowd's going wild, then you're like, well, they're fucking the lowest common denominator. You can't take it personally. Your stuff didn't do well because it is good. I mean,
yeah, but you know? I think you ever get disappointed at humankind?
Of course.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. Yeah. So it happens on like a micro level.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
You know, like I wanted better for them, but they didn't want better for them.
Yeah, yeah.
I see, okay.
You
yeah.
know,
yeah,
and so I just felt so bad that they didn't want better for them.
Right, yeah. Right, right.
And not only was it like the lowest hack, like, I mean, this studio ain't blue, it's blue.
Uh-huh. Right. Ha 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 ha, falling off their chairs.
Oh, they running. Yeah. They okay. running, screaming. Roller coaster laughing. Oh my God.
Oh, that's my favorite term.
Hold on to your glasses.
Yes.
Roller coaster laughing.
That's hilarious.
And then it was very like insulting to the women also. Like if you know the demographic of Memphis is like probably one of the more black populated cities in the United States. It's yeah. also a very poor city. Mm. And a lot of the demographic are larger.
Okay.
You know, larger in size, like uh-huh. plus, mm-hmm. you know. And every single one of his jokes to those women were insulting to their aesthetic. But still, I mean, you know, laughing out loud, yeah. literally, yeah. right? And so the first show, I'm thinking like, no, wait a second, right? Yeah. And so then I do the second show that night. This is a Friday night. I do the second show, and the same thing happens, you know. And I'm like, I can get a bit like, I'm stubborn in that way where I know what I can do to do well in mm-hmm. front of them. But I'm like, no, mm-hmm. yeah. my integrity, right. you know, yeah. whatever, you know, I could
you
have
were not
really
going to debase yourself.
Yeah, I could have really just been like, hey hoes, you know, like I could have.
Where my bitches
yeah,
at?
I knew exactly right. what I needed to do to get them,
right.
And I refused to do it. And so, okay, so the night, so I get to leave early, right?
Yeah.
And so as he's on stage, and I mean, I want to leave as soon as I get off stage, because the moment he hits, you know, the moment he does the first hack joke and yeah. they go crazy again, I'm like, all right, get me back to the hotel. And so I go to the owner is no longer there.
Okay.
The manager is at the club. And so I go to the manager and I say, I'm sure your husband tells you this. They provide us with transportation, yep. hotel, but you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so they're supposed to provide me with transportation. So I say, hey, you know, I'm ready to leave. I don't know if someone is, if you guys actually have a car service or, because someone picked me up from the hotel to bring to. Right. I was like, I don't know who's taking me back to the hotel, but I'm ready to go.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, okay, let me call somebody to get you back to the hotel. And so I'm like, okay, I sit down and I'm just watching, you know, watching this show that I don't want to watch. And the show, he's 40 minutes in uh-huh. to his set. And I realize, wait, I'm still here.
I'm still not laughing.
Yeah, and I look at the DJ, and the DJ kind of looks at me like, you still here? Like, the you know?
Yeah.
And I go to the manager's office. I was like, have you seen the manager? He's like, no, I haven't seen him. And I go into the office, and I knock on the door, and nobody answers. So I'm like, where could he be? So I walk around the club. And it's a big club. I walk around the club again. I'm asking people, where's the manager? Where's the manager? They was like, he should be in the office. So I go back to the office and I knock again. When I knock, the door kind of opens. Oh, no. He's in the office sleeping.
Amazing. Oh, Lord. Amazing.
And so I say, oh, did you forget that I needed to go back to the hotel?
Right.
And he was like, oh, no, I'm so sorry. He looked at his phone, and I guess the person didn't hit him back or anything like that. He said, I'm so sorry. I'm trying to get somebody, but I'm having a hard time. So this is what I forgot to mention. After maybe like 5 minutes, I just started, because this is 2022 at the time. Uh-huh. So it's like, I'll just get an Uber.
Right.
Yes. Exactly.
Not, which is what he should have done and paid for it.
Yes. Yeah. Nothing to it.
Right.
No Ubers. That's the thing about cities like Memphis. You get sometimes being, not cities like Memphis, but Ubers are not going to be available to you in certain places like they are in New York, San Francisco, LA. Okay. They're just not. The show ends. I still don't have an Uber. I don't have a ride. Nothing. The show lets out. The audience is gone. Everything. And I'm still sitting at the club trying to get back to... I mean, at that point, I should have fought to close the show. Right,
right, right. Yeah, yeah.
And so then finally the DJ says, I can take care. You know, DJ is like one of the last people to leave.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he was like, you still here? And I was like, yeah. He's like, okay, I can take you home. I mean, take you to your hotel. And so he loads up his equipment. I get in his car. When I get in his car, he has like a sports car. When I get in his car, it's tinted. The windows are the windows are tinted so black. I was like, this can't even be legal.
Right.
Right. And so instantly, being a woman, I'm like, I just instantly went into prayer, because at this point, at this point, it's out of my control. Yeah. It's like, it's above me. Yeah. You know?
Maybe I'm going to get murdered.
Yeah. Like, it's really above me. And it was only because the windows were so dark. Yeah. I was like, once I get in here, I'm gone forever.
Yep.
I don't know my way around Memphis. I was so busy trying to call an Uber. Now my phone is about to die. Like, I mean, I'm
everything is against me,
right?
Also, he's a DJ.
He's a DJ. But you know what? When we pulled, he talked to me a bit as we drove, and then like friendly conversation. And when he pulled up to my hotel, I was so relieved.
Yeah,
I was so. He said, "I'm so." He apologized to me for how the night had gone, and I was so thankful that I tried to give him money.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And he said, "Oh no, sister, you just got to get home. I'm just here to get you home." And I was so. I kept looking. I kept saying, like, at first I was like wanting to get out the car. Now I won't get out the car. I'm like, thank you. You know, thank you so much.
Like,
thank you for not killing me and raping me and throwing me somewhere. Thank you. Right. I'm now he's my friend. I'm like, I'll see you at the show tomorrow. Right. Like, I'm making plans with this guy. Right. So I get back to my hotel room and I call the guy that I'm seeing and I'm like distraught. And he's like, he's also on tour. He's not a comedian, but he's also on tour. So he kind of gets it. And so he was like, do you have anybody that can like meet you there? Do you know anybody in the city? And I was like, no. He was like, do you have anybody that like, will any one of your like sisters, are they free to like fly there? You know, like I'll book somebody's flight to, you know, whatever. And my friend works for United.
Uh-huh.
And so she loves meeting me in whatever city.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so I was like, hey, are you working? And she was like, wow, what's up? And I was like, I told her the story, like a more abridged version. Uh-huh. And I was like, I just don't feel safe. And this is what happened. And do you mind like coming and finishing out the weekend with me? I'll rent a car. We'll like find fun things to do around the city during the day. We'll make like a Memphis sightseeing trip.
Yeah,
girls trip around it, right? And so she's like, of course, Zainab, I'll get on the first flight. She's flying from Texas. She's like, I'll get on the first flight out. The earliest I can get there is like 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, perfect.
Nice.
I'll get up, go for a run in my Lulus. No, I'm kidding. And so she was like, do you want me to take an Uber to your hotel and then we get a rental car? And I was like, I don't think you'll be able to get an Uber because I had a problem last night. I said, so how about I just rent I'll book a rental car at the airport. So I'll meet you at the airport and we'll have the rental car from there, right? I was like, I think the hotel will be able to get me to the airport. Get to the airport. pick up my friend. We go to the rental car place and we go to Avis. Okay, so we go to whoever, Hertz or whoever. And I'm like, hey, last name Johnson, reservation for a rental car for 2 more days. And the guy is like, oh, we don't have cars. And I said, but no, I made a reservation. Do you know the naive, like, well, when you get a confirmation number, that means a car is waiting for you.
Right.
He said, oh, we don't got cars.
Just no, we don't. Didn't think they needed to tell you.
And I was like, what do you mean? Like y'all ran out or like what? Like is this
or
no
you're
longer
out of business.
Yeah, like what do you mean? And he said, yeah, it's the football. Like he explained to me, he said, this is a week. No, we've been out of car. Like nobody has cars.
Oh my God.
And I said, but how does that make sense? I just made a reservation for it last night. And he said, let me see your reservation. So I'm thinking we getting somewhere if I just show.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I don't know why they let you do that.
This is literally that Seinfeld episode.
Yeah. He like
tries to make a reservation. Yeah.
Yeah. He said, oh, I don't know why they let you do it. I said, well,
that's
let me.
That's your answer?
So he, sorry, I just realized I didn't lock my car door. He says, he can see that I'm like almost shutting down, like having, like, I don't know, like shutting down, you know, because I can't understand, like,
right.
I feel like I'm in a twilight zone. And he doesn't know what my night was, so he doesn't quite understand why I'm so perplexed. But I know what my night was, and I know that I can't possibly have another night like that.
Right.
And so he sees me kind of short-circuiting, and he's like, he yells over to Avis, and he says, Avis rental cars. And he said, y'all got any cars? And she was like, who need a car? And I was like, I need a car. And he said, go over to Avis. I think, you know, usually when nobody else has cars, they usually have like a car or two left over. So go over there. She'll help you out. And so I walk over and this older black woman, she was like, I don't know if she could see it on me. She
Aww.
Was like, now what happened to you? I said, I can't even go into it right now. I said, but I'm performing here this weekend and I really need a car. And she was like, well, we ain't got no cars, but I got a disabled van.
Is the van disabled or is it for disabled people?
I said, amazing. I don't care if it's a tractor trailer, lady. I got to get around. She said, we ain't got no tractor trailer. You are funny. What type of show you, you know, like
oh,
she,
cute.
You know,
yeah.
And I was, but I was not being,
right.
I was not cracking a joke.
Right.
I was like literally going to be in a tractor trailer
right.
if I needed to be.
Where's the Zamboni?
And she was like, I have a disabled, you know, van for disabled passengers. She was like, so if you're fine with that. And my friend was looking at me trying not to laugh. She could tell that I was like exhausted.
Yeah.
Now, Saturday night, 2 shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just prepped myself to bomb. I just prepped myself. I'm like,
yeah.
First show, I go up and bomb, right? I hear my friend's in the audience, and my friend is dying laughing. She is dying laughing. And I start laughing because she's laughing.
Right.
And I even say it out loud. I'm like, terrible, right?
And she's not even a comic.
No.
Because a comic would get why it's so funny.
Yeah.
But you would think like a civilian would be like, oh my God, this
no.
is horrible. But she got it.
She's
she
been
it.
Coming to my shows
oh,
since
okay.
I first started. She yells out too. She was like, it's funny to me. Like she's just like, you know. And so she recognizes like this is not normally the response my friend gets when she performs.
Right.
And so whatever, I'm at least that like, humble of a person to like, this is not for nothing. I'll get a good story. I just got to live through this
right,
and I can make something of it.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, yes.
And so we're laughing, whatever. Right. And I'm thinking like, and don't worry, we get to leave early. I don't got to close the show.
Right.
So we get to leave early, go down to like, you know, Beale Street. We going to check out Memphis nightlife.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then the co-headliner gets on stage and my friend watches him. And she's like, she's like flabbergasted. Like she, her mouth drops because she's like, it is exactly how you describe. Uh-huh. Why would they even put y'all on the same show? Like, why would?
Right, you're not the same audience.
Yeah,
clearly.
Yeah, like why would you even do that?
Right,
you know. And so whatever. It's like, I'm not about to cry over spilled milk no more. I got my disabled vehicle. We about to hit the town, yeah. Right?
Is it? No, I just have to ask. Is it for driving disabled people or is it for a disabled person to drive?
It is for driving disabled people.
Okay,
around.
So it's not like you have to learn how to drive it because
no,
it's got
no.
like one of those sticks or something.
Yeah, no, okay. no. It was just two regular seats in the front and then okay. no seats in the rest of the van because just.
For wheelchairs.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Gotcha,
exactly.
Gotcha.
And slide doors on the both side and on the outside it said Avis disabled front. Like, I mean, it was.
You were going to have so much easy parking.
It was kind of like, you know, when we pulled up, people didn't know, like, who were we picking up, you know, like
make way, everyone.
Yeah. So we go out and we go out to Beale Street and we have a really, really good time. I get to kind of, and I think this is helpful when you're a comedian in a new place, to really get a sense of the people of that place, and then you may get a better idea of how you reach them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not a comedian. It changes my material to cater to the crowd because I feel like, well, the point of me being up here is for you to come into my world.
Right.
Right. So I'm not going to I guess I should say I'm not going to pander to the audience. But spending a couple of hours at Beale Street, you know, I had a couple of experiences there. And so then So Saturday night, a Memphis comedian that I know. I know him from LA, but it's the pandemic. So a lot of people who lived here, they went home.
Okay, right.
And so he was like, yeah, I heard you were performing in the city. And so I came by and I was like, oh, I didn't know you were from Memphis. He was like, listen, don't give up on the audience.
Uh-huh.
He gives me this whole pep talk Saturday night before I leave. Don't give up on the audience. They need you. They're almost like a superhero movie. He's like, they need you. They don't know they need you, but they need you. So don't give up.
Right, right. Right.
And I was like, they do need me. And so now, okay, I go to Beale Street, whatever.
Not all heroes wear capes.
And so Sunday night comes. It's two shows, mm-hmm. right? And
which is weird. Super weird.
Very weird. And the first show, the first thing I get on stage and say is, I went to Beale Street. If Beale Street could talk, it would have told me take my ass home. And I don't know why I didn't think of that before, mm-hmm. you know, but I don't know, like my first 10 minutes, I spoke directly to them.
Uh-huh.
And I'm killing.
Nice.
And then I go right into my same material that I've been doing
mm-hmm.
the first two nights. And I don't change it at all. But now they're comfortable with me.
They're on your side.
They're getting every single beat right before I'm about to end. Right? I'm at like the 27, 28 minute mark.
Uh-huh.
Right? Of my little 30 minute set. And I say something to the audience. I look at this guy who's in the front. He's sitting with his woman, his love interest. And I don't know what I said, but I looked at him and I just like, and I said, oh, are you something about like, is he good looking or is he sexy? Something like that. And uh-huh. I kind of like looked at him, but I didn't say it. I just made a face and kind of like insinuated.
Uh-huh.
Right. The woman he was with.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Jumped up out her
no
and said, and I quote, don't worry about my man BITCH.
Oh my god.
And I was thinking two things. I think that if this was like post-pandemic, meaning like after we saw like the Oscar slap, after we saw mm-hmm. Dave Chappelle get attacked, I think I would have been more prepared for such a
right.
aggressive, mm-hmm. you know, but I think that was very, that was, you know, shocking
to
me.
Oh my God.
And also, too, my look was it, my what I insinuated was a positive thing about the guy she was with, not a negative thing.
Right.
And so I was thinking two things. I was thinking, dang, this was the first set that was coming.
Right.
That's the comic in me, right?
Right, of course.
Like, no, I just wanted, I was about to close it in on a bang and, you know what I'm saying, and redeem myself in Memphis and, you know. And then I thought, oh, gosh, I think I'm in front of the bucket, you know, like, which means I'm very close to her, you know, yeah. Like there's no longer a bucket between us. And so that's a safety issue.
Yep.
And so I step back behind the bucket and I'm like, wait, you're like, oh, calm down. You know, just don't stop. Hold on a second. And she, I was like, this is comedy.
Right.
And she was like, take that. Ha ha. She just starts like roasting me, but not roasting me like joke for joke, but just like really yelling at me and threatening me,
threatening
to beat me up.
Oh, my God.
If I did look at or said anything to her man.
Right. She's very secure in her relationship.
He was laughing too hard.
He even tried to stop her. He was. I even said it because he was older. I would imagine that this woman was closer to my age, and this guy seemed like he could be like either my father or maybe a young grandfather.
Oh,
and so I said to her, I was like, "Girl, you could be." Then I said it to him. I said, "You could be my grandfather. Come on, you know, like don't nobody want your man. Like I, you know, like." And that did not. She was like, "You know, take that back to New York." And I wanted to like, you know, you ever been like the type of person like on a technicality you win an argument like, well, technically I live in New York, but I was like, she already want to smack me.
Yeah,
you know, like I
wasn't
can't
gonna make it better.
Yeah, I'm yeah. like, let me not, you know, throw something on the you know,
right.
oil on the flame. And so that happens for, this is only for about 2 minutes, but when something like that happens, yeah. 2 minutes feels like an eternity.
It's
you know?
Like a child having a tantrum.
Yeah.
You've got to just be like, can I give you some ice to throw outside? That's what I do with my kids, where you're like, can I just give you a bucket of ice and you go outside and throw it till
yeah.
you're not mad anymore?
She had a bucket.
Yeah, you had a bucket.
I was so shocked at my reaction, though.
That's
my reaction was, I didn't really say much. Like, the more she yelled at me and jumped up out of her seat, I just waited and I said, yuck. Which the only thing that could have made it worse is if I literally had on Lululemon. It's the only thing that could have made it worse.
Oh my God.
That's the best response I've ever heard.
You didn't even mean to say it. Just came out.
It just came out because I think I was disgusted.
How did the audience react?
They
you
were
say
on
that?
My side.
Okay.
And I said, Memphis, is this how you guys want to be represented? who did I become?
You're like a Karen.
I was like, is this what you guys want? To be? And they was like, no, they separated themselves from her. Like,
awesome.
You know, like,
I love them like moving seats away from her.
Like, no. We do not agree with what's happening right
now. Oh, my God.
And she ruined the fun. Like, this audience hadn't been at any other show, so they don't know I've been bombing. They just think, like, she's killing for us. This has been a good night, you know?
Yes.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just go now. I'm going to just leave now. And so I'd say, you know, thank you for having me. I was like, and I said it to them. I was like, and this show was going really good. Like, I said it because it's I am that type of person. I say everything that's happening, you know.
Yeah.
And so they clapped for me and, you know, whatever. And I got off. And as soon as I was walking through the audience, this one woman, she kind of grabbed my arm. And she said, she don't even know her man is Community Dick. And so now we have one more show, show Sunday, and they so drunk, they drunk coming into the show. Let me tell you how I know they drunk coming into the show. The host is on stage. The host gets on, they still seating people, right, as the host is on stage. Bucket of water still, you know coming
not,
from the ceiling.
It's not raining, it's just dripping something mysterious.
It's dripping something mysterious.
Okay.
But it did rain that weekend.
Oh, okay.
It did rain that weekend, so... Okay. It's dripping something mysterious, but it's also because of, I believe, the rain, the weather.
All right.
And the host hasn't even said, like, welcome to the show yet or whatever the name of the club was. there's a guy that walks in, he's being seated. He immediately starts roasting the host. Oh, tight ass jeans. Oh, you ain't funny. Oh, looking like Papa Smurf fat. Like I'm talking about, immediately. And so when you see, when you see somebody walk in doing that, they haven't been served alcohol yet. They haven't been seated yet. You refuse business. That's what you're supposed to do as a comedy club. You're supposed to say, "Oh no, 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 I'm sorry."
That's not how it works.
No, you got you're gonna be a terror for the show.
Right. Yep.
They sat him. So now I'm sitting in the back watching this because I want to have another good, one more good show. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as I see this happening and I see that they're still seating him, I go to the manager's office and I say, "Hey, they're seating someone who is already visibly drunk. Like he's already giving the host a hard time." The host said, okay, did you get it out your system?
Right.
Did you get it out your system? And then he's like, pretended like he got out of system. The security guard said something to him. So he was quiet for 2 seconds and sat down. The moment the host went into his first joke, he was like, oh, looking like your sweater don't fit like a baby. I don't know what he was saying, but he just went in and started. And I'm like, yo, this is the top of the show. This is going to be.
Yeah.
This is going to be unruly.
Yeah.
You know?
Trouble.
Yeah. And so they let the guy stay. I did my set. I think it was just, I didn't bomb, but it wasn't like the first show, but it was a set that I was fine with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was just ready to get up, get out of there. Let me hop in my van and get up out of here.
Yeah.
And
just a door, just like lower hydraulic lift. She has to wait 10 minutes. Hysterical.
And
oh my God.
The next morning, I did forget the highlight of that trip was, they have the Martin Luther King Jr. Museum.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
There's like the motel that he was assassinated at, I believe. And so it's now a historic site and a museum. Mm. And so that was really interesting to tour. And so that was a pleasant thing that my friend and I experienced while we were there. But yeah, when I got on my plane Monday morning, I never been, I was like,
wow. You never did again. That city and then some.
You're like, no thanks.
Jesus.
Not going back there.
I try not to say that, but yeah, I try not to say that because Memphis is more people than the people from that experience.
Sure. Maybe not that club.
Yeah, but I just, it did leave a bad, it wasn't a city or a club that I was like, oh,
Thank God your friend could come.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I'm so thankful. I'm thankful to the DJ. Yeah. I'm even thankful to the owner of the club that knew my comedy was not. But because he really felt like I was a strong act, I think for him, he's trying to move the club and maybe another,
trying to broaden the horizons.
Yeah. And so I'm even thankful for him seeing that and knowing that. But it just wasn't a well-run operation at the time. And I'm thankful for the DJ. I'm thankful for my friend.
That's
awesome. I'm thankful for the Avis lady
who was like, I got a
disabled van, you know.
Oh, my God.
Because I don't know if you're supposed to be disabled to get that van. You know,
well,
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They cut the legs out from under you. So in a sense, you were disabled. How can they make a reservation and then not have the fucking cars?
He said, let me see that. I don't know.
I hate that. I hate when you do something and they're like, someone messed up.
Yeah.
That's not helpful.
Yeah.
Someone on our end messed up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whoops.
And I think he said, they do that all the time. I'm like,
well, that's a problem.
Yeah. So are you guys not trying
stop
to
doing
fix
that?
It? Yeah. So.
Oh my God. Zainab, thank you so much for being here.
That was an amazing story.
Oh my God.
So good. And besides the special, Hijabs Off.
Yes.
Do you have upcoming dates?
Yeah, I got a lot of upcoming dates.
Is there just like a website someone we can go to see your dates or?
Yeah, well, if they're listening in Seoul, if they're listening and they're in like the Philly area or Pottstown area on the 26th of this month, I'll be performing at Soul Joe's.
Okay.
Friday, January 26th, I'll be performing at Soul Joe's. But yes, all my show dates are on my website, which is Zainab Johnson, Zainab Johnson. And I have a lot of dates. My calendar, my weekends are all filled until I think the end of March right now, and it'll just keep filling up.
Great.
So if I come to a city near you, don't miss me. And then on social media, it's just my name. So all social media platforms, Zaynab Johnson.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool.
Wow.
Very cool.
Thank you so much. That story was so much fun. It had a lot of twists and turns. Oh my
God. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and
so
listening.
Good. Yes.
I've not told that story since it happened, like maybe one other time, so I wasn't sure how it was
going to go. Oh, no, it's so good.
Oh, incredible.
And I've, as you, I'm sure you can imagine, I've heard lots of road stories from my husband and other friends. And that's a good one. That is a multi-layered story. So funny. And we'll be right back with What Did We Learn Today?
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Chris.
Danielle.
Are you ready to learn what we learned today?
Only if you take a really long time teaching me.
Okay. Come for the Eagles, stay for the elderly single drama. Take care of yourself first. You can't be of use to your baby or anyone else if you aren't okay with yourself. If you aren't okay yourself. Pee first. Use this advice in every aspect of life. Listen to your own body and mental health. Don't fear the mess. Accept it and save yourself some stress. Every postpartum experience is different. You'll learn what works for you and your baby. Share the work and stress. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. If you experience postpartum depression, you may need antidepressants. There is no shame in this. Not all heroes wear capes, but they do wear Lululemon.
Well, you know what? I prefer Athleta.
Oh, do you actually use Athleta?
I do.
Now, that's the one that's a subsidiary of Gap.
Yeah.
Is that right?
It is, yes.
Yeah. Okay, good to know.
But, you know, I might not be as hard on my athleisure wear.
Yeah.
As Zaynab, I'm not exercising in it that much.
My pajama pants work perfectly to walk to the mailbox and back.
There
so
you go.
I'm all good.
Guess it just
and
depends.
that's your the extent of your physical
well, then
activity.
I take the dog outside,
that's his but, fitness routine. You
know, that's okay. Just a few feet past the mailbox.
Well, there you go. I swear, I stand by. I've never had to. I don't think I've ever had to get rid of leggings because they had holes in them.
Well,
or they outstretch their... They're just fine. They're just fine.
So you're good.
I'm fine.
You don't need to upgrade.
But I do kind of... I don't know if jealousy is the right word or admiration, but when I see people who come in wearing matching outfits,
yeah,
like the top and the bottoms,
yes,
go together and are of a piece,
yes,
I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not that person. I want to be that person kind of, but I'm not that person. I don't have anything that matches anything else.
I would look at myself in the mirror like that and be like, you look like a complete fool. What are you doing?
Maybe that's...
Who do you think you are?
Right.
You're dressed like this.
Right. I just meant with the workout clothes. Like the.
Oh, I'm like it with anything.
Oh. Because so. You know, you got the bra and the leggings. Oh my God, they go together. They were, you know.
Curated.
That just screams of wealth to me for some reason. Matching clothes scream of wealth.
You're not going to allow yourself that.
No.
That gift.
No.
I can't afford matching patterns.
No, exactly.
Those are for those fancy people.
Can only wear purple and green.
I got to wear an old t-shirt and some stretched out leggings.
Yeah.
That's what I get myself.
Exactly. Well.
Hey.
I guess.
We know.
Until next time.
To remain calm.
Remain calm.
Oops. Try again.
Remain calm. It was funny. We should keep it all.